broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth. It's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Hello there, Stephen.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. I like the energy. I missed you this past show.
Well, and it's good to be back. I'm on my fourth cup of coffee this morning. Office Suites Plus has tremendous coffee, so I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. Who's the first guest? Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Wow. one word for you, Stephen. Decaf. Hey, we've got a full house today. Joining us here on the show is Tori Rose from You're So Special, Leanne Russell, she's a realtor with Keller Williams Realty, Jimmy Van Buren with Atlanta Junk King, and our old friend Marie Fertoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. And we will get started with Tori Rose. Tori, welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. You're So Special. Tell us all about your company and what you do.
Well, You're So Special was started as a result of myself being a coach for 14 years, coaching varsity sports on the high school side, and I was frustrated with vendors when I would order uniforms. They wouldn't be right, they wouldn't fit right, they wouldn't be the right color, they didn't come in on time. And I also was an advanced home economics teacher at that high school, and my principal challenged me to make uniforms for just my team. And as a result of that, we're going in our 20th year of manufacturing athletic apparel for colleges, high schools, recreational programs.
I think that's amazing that, you know, you had problems and you said to yourself, I can do this better. And so you went into business doing where you were having the problems. That had to be kind of scary.
It was more than scary. 3 years after my principal gave me that challenge, he came to me and said, I'm not going to renew your teaching contract because you have something here and you need to go do it. So it was more than just scary.
What makes you different from your competitors? Because there's a lot of companies out there that do what you do. So not only did you start your own business, but you got into a very competitive field.
I have. The competition is very stiff. However, what separates us is that we manufacture apparel, first off, here in Georgia. So we outsource nothing. We also buy the bulk of our goods to be able to produce those products domestic. But what separates our uniforms is the fact that we allow our customers, or we partner with our customers to allow them to make design choices. So we don't actually have a catalog. And then not only beyond the unique designs of these uniforms, we also custom fit the uniforms per athlete.
Who is your target market? Is it youth teams? Are you? It sounds like you've expanded beyond that. Talk about who your target market is.
We have. Our target market actually is comprised of colleges, high schools, middle schools, recreational programs.
And do you see yourself expanding, say, over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Where else can you grow your business?
We actually are. We actually have a few sales reps that are outside of Georgia. We have a good support here in Georgia as far as our sales reps go. And so we have a widespread audience here, but we are looking to expand in other regions of the country. And not only that, we've also opened ourselves up as a manufacturer of apparel for other up and coming people who would like to start something that we've started. We started without having much knowledge, and we've learned a lot. And so we want to be able to share that so that other people can do similar things that we've done.
Tori, talk a little bit about some of your competition. You said the competition is stiff. However, I think I would be fairly safe in saying there's not much competition that manufactures domestically, buys most of their products domestically, and goes the extra steps of how much do you want input in your own design? How do you want your uniforms to look? How custom can they be? Is that competition very, very small?
It's extremely small. What we do is we actually partner with the programs that we work with, because we want them to be successful. As I was coaching, I realized I was getting paid to train athletes. I wasn't getting paid to choose uniforms, to make sure they came in on time, to make sure I was billed properly, all those things. And so we physically take that work, that step out of the coach's hands, and we handle that for them by going out and fitting the kids. We actually are taking uniforms for the kids to try on. Then we also help with the design process. They may have a completely, you know, an idea already, but if they don't, we partner with them to help them come up with something. We get to know their team so that we know what the characteristics about their team are, or what is it that they're trying to accomplish that particular year. So that's how we partner with them to truly get them a uniform that nobody else has. The other thing that we do is once we design a uniform for that team, as long as the team wears it, we will not sell it to another school, which makes us very unique. So it keeps us our ideas fresh all the time. And we are known for that. When we go to watch our customers play, our uniforms can be picked out amongst the crowd because you don't see it anywhere else.
And I think it's important, as you were kind of presenting what you do, I think some people might be thinking, oh man, that'll take even more time if I got to design it. But you really, one of your main goals is not only providing the best uniform and the best fitting, but also taking a lot of the headaches out of it for the coaches.
Correct. We do. So much so that when their product is delivered to them, it doesn't come in a box with X amount of smalls, mediums, larges. They're actually packaged by athlete. So if they get a two-piece uniform, there's going to be a package that has that athlete's name on it, and everything that athlete bought is in that package. We have some programs that buy as many as 14 different items, and not only is it packaged by athlete, but it is also packaged by team. So if we're working with a varsity, a JV, and a ninth grade program, it is also packaged per athlete, per team.
Mike, you and I have coached a little bit, and you and I have been around team moms and dads. We just need to pause for a second and let that sink in, because I think that's the greatest marketing line that Tori Mike could ever deliver.
Where have you been our entire life?
Those, you know, a lot of what we do is a result of me having been a coach for 14 years. And I would get these boxes and go, oh my goodness, I have no idea who needs these sizes. And just because it has a number on it, that doesn't mean it's the right size.
And 4 hours later, you're going, wait a minute, I got to plan practice now.
Yeah.
And I know most coaches can't be as organized as Stephen and I when we're coaching our kids. But I'm sure you have so many stories of coaches getting in touch with you at the last minute, and they want things yesterday.
Absolutely, we do. Typically, our turnaround time is about 6 weeks, which is still very reasonable for a custom-designed, custom-fitted uniform. And that's once we've gone out and we've fitted their students. So we do have capacity within our production for those people who don't plan accordingly.
You mentioned, and we're talking with Tori Rose with You're So Special. You mentioned that you've been in business now for 20 years. If you could use the time machine and go back 20 years and talk to Tori 20 years ago, what kind of advice would you give her now that you have 20 years under your belt of doing this?
I think that I would plan with the end in mind. It was about 10 or 12 years into this when I realized, wow, I'm going to be able to do something. And so trying to catch up with that has been difficult, but we're working towards that and through that. And then looking at the next stages and next phases of what's going to actually be happening within our company. And it's very, very exciting.
Where do you want to go? Do you want to expand and have multiple locations, or do you just want to continue with your niche and being that special person in the community you're in now?
We are in growth mode, and we plan to grow, but we don't plan to have additional locations. We don't feel like our model, it's not that it isn't reproducible, but we want to maintain what we have here. That isn't my vision. My four daughters work in our company as well, and that may be theirs. So we're talking through some of that actually now, is what do we want this company to look like in 20 more years? But what my goal and my vision is actually to see apparel manufacturing come back to the United States. We have partnered with SCAD, Savannah School of Art and Design in Atlanta, and we are an extension of their training ground. So we have capacity and we have equipment that SCAD doesn't currently have. And so we've partnered with them because they have done some amazing things in training designers and technical people on my side of the world, and we want to give them an opportunity and a place to come and work where they don't have to leave.
We're talking with Tori Rose from You're So Special. Quick little full disclosure. I first met Tori and have always known her as the president of YSS Athletics. So one of the cool things this interview has done is helped me remember what YSS stands for.
And you're so perfect. We should have mentioned it's so S-E-W.
Right.
Not just S-O. You're so special.
There you go.
Because I was expecting an interview with YSS Athletics, too. And I look at the sheet, and it's, you're so special. Wait a minute.
Hey, it's YSS. See, Mike and I are so sharp. Yes. It takes only 10 minutes for us to catch up with the rest of the world.
Yes. That's our DBA.
So, in full disclosure, one of the other things is I first met Tori through Networking MFG, a networking group specifically for manufacturing companies here in Georgia. So let me let you get on your soapbox a little bit and kind of expand a little bit on what you just said about the partnership with SCAD. Manufacturing is starting to come back, and I think especially here in Georgia. This is Gwinnett Business Radio. You are a Gwinnett business. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to ask a question. I'm just going to step back and say, expand on that a little bit more if you want. Expand on your vision of manufacturing apparel coming back and why that's fantastic and why that's good and why people need to shop with companies like you.
Well, it is definitely coming back. And we are very excited to be a part of that. Networking MFG was actually just a foreground of me being able to see what was truly happening, not only here in Gwinnett County, but then across the region. It is no longer profitable for large companies like it once was to send their production offshore. It has definitely hurt our economy. There are people who they still don't have jobs. And so some of the things that we've done to help it grow and expand that is we're also partnered with South Gwinnett High School in an entrepreneurship program because we want students who don't see themselves as going to college or a definite career path to say there's something else out there for you. And so part of that is we are looking to grow and expand to go into a new facility, and part of that, our vision is to have an incubator for these students to have a place where they can set up their own little business. And hopefully it will be in manufacturing.
One other thing I just want to ask and just kind of change directions a little bit. Mike talked about you do all kinds of custom uniforms for all kinds of sports. I'm assuming there is not a sport that you can't handle and that you can't do a uniform for. But you also really just barely touched on, you're starting to do some stuff outside of uniforms, kind of bringing that custom design to some other things. And this kind of goes along with where are you going in the next 5 to 10 years. What are some of the other lines you're starting to get into and bringing what you did with uniforms into other lines of clothing?
Well, we partnered with another company, and this particular company was on the Vogue magazine, front cover of the Vogue magazine in January. And so we are producing their line for them. And their model is very much like ours in that it is custom bridesmaids gowns, and they are already in boutiques across the United States. So not only that, as part of our opening ourselves up for apparel manufacturing, we've actually had some large apparel manufacturers approach us about doing their production. And last year we were able to partner with some of them so that they could say part of their goods were made in the United States. So that's part of our growth that we are experiencing.
Bridal gowns.
Yes.
So bridal gowns with the number and your name on the back. Just wait, you wouldn't mix the sports.
No.
Bridal gowns and ball games,
right.
Mike.
We actually have a line set up just for them in our production.
Great. Well, it's been great getting to know about You're So Special for those companies, teams, brides to be that want to get in touch with you about anything. What's the best way to reach you? Is there a website they can go to as well?
There is. Our website is www.yssathletics.com, and we are located in Snellville, Georgia. Our phone number, 770-982-9913.
All right, Tori. Tori Rose from You're So Special. Great to meet you, although you already knew Stephen, and you still came to the show, which is amazing. Thanks so much for joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you.
All right, joining us now on the show is Leanne Russell. Leanne is a realtor and associate broker with Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
I've known a lot of folks that were realtors, and they got out of the business, you know, when the housing market just kind of went down. You're still doing it. Tell us about your background, how long you've been doing this.
I actually got into real estate in 2005. So it'll be 8 years in August that I have been in the business. Luckily, I got into it when we were kind of going down, so I never experienced the really, really big time. So I know the appreciation of working at real estate, and it doesn't come easy. It's a lot of work. It's daily lead generating and just focusing and setting goals. And ever since I've been in it, it was kind of, I have a background in child and family development. So went into real estate and have been here ever since. And it's a great career. I get to help people, and that's just one of the biggest things in my life that I like to do.
I was going to ask you, what do you enjoy about your job? But you're helping people find their homes.
Right.
But your background in child development and so forth, have you found that where that might have has helped you maybe in this career?
I had been in a team leader role with Keller Williams, and that's kind of working with the agents, training and consulting, and that kind of brought back my child and family development because I was just working with adult children in a way. So you can kind of use it. You know, there's a lot of discipline and stuff, so it comes back and forth a little bit, but it helps when I'm working with families. I've moved some families from out of state, and when they have kids and stuff, I can kind of interact and make it a little easier for them when we're going around showing houses, and it's not always fun for a kid to look at 7 or 10 houses in one day. So I get to use it occasionally, not very often, but it'll come up every now and then.
Are there parts of real estate where you kind of specialize in?
I like to work with first-time home buyers. I've been one myself and had probably one of the worst experiences ever, and I was a real estate agent, so luckily I was able to understand it a little bit more. But it really taught me what first-time home buyers go through, the nerves, the, you know, and everything within our market. And that was when I bought my house, it was during a major market shift, you know, Taylor Bean and Whitaker going under, and it was just a nightmare. So now I can relate to my first-time home buyers on a completely different level. And then also, I work with lake property and then high-end luxury homes as well. So
let me follow that up. And we're talking with Leanne Russell with Keller Williams Realty. You talk about first-time homeowners or home buyers. What should they be looking for when they're looking for a realtor to help represent them? Because there's so many realtors out there.
Absolutely.
What kind of questions should they be asking? What should they be looking for?
They need to look for someone who's going to help them, who's on their side. I mean, this is the biggest investment of their lives, and they need to have an advocate that is knowledgeable about the market, knowledgeable about, you know, the lending part of it, and that can help them in any way, because you don't want to get yourself in a situation of buying a home and, you know, it coming back on you. You know, we've seen the market shift and everything. So just someone that's going to be your advocate, that's knowledgeable and is there to help you and answer any question, because you will have millions of questions as a first-time home buyer. So someone that you can trust and that you can rely on and that's going to be there for you and on your side throughout the whole process.
So expand on that a little bit more by answering this question. You said they should look for somebody that they can ask all the questions and somebody they can trust. What are some questions specifically that people should be asking of a potential realtor to kind of help build that trust, to kind of help them get to the point of saying, this is the person I want to work with?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first question is are they a realtor? That would be the first question. You know, not everyone in real estate can call themselves a realtor. And as a realtor, we have to be watch ourselves on a code of ethics. So we have to follow certain guidelines, which sets us apart from just your normal real estate agent. We also have the ability and knowledge to access other information that, you know, others may not. So that's their first question is, are you a realtor? I know that there's a big question right there of what's the difference between a realtor and a real estate salesperson, but there's a huge difference, and they're really on your side and have to follow a set of guidelines and code of ethics. Another question, you know, what is it that, what are you going to do for me? As my realtor, what are you going to do for me? How do I know that you're looking at my best interest to get me, you know, as a buyer, the best price possible in this market? And how do I know that you're going to be on my side? So those are just two general questions that you need to ask up front.
So I'm very tempted to ask, okay, Leanne, so what are you going to do for me? But I'm not yet looking for a house, so I'm going to skip that question. Okay. And instead I'm going to ask, I'm going to give you a major revelation you might not know. There's a lot of realtors out there.
There are.
So.
But there's not as many as there were.
Well, that's true. So.
We've weeded out some realtors. I feel that if you're a realtor and you're in the business right now, then you need to be in this business.
Right.
This
you're
is,
good at it.
You know, we went through a major market shift that affected realtors, lenders, builders, you know, and the housing market is our economy. Is when the housing market comes up, our economy usually is following behind it. When the housing market goes down, the economy goes. if you are in that business right now and you're still hanging in there, then this is a career to you. It's not, you know, just a day-to-day living or, hey, I can work on the weekends every once in a while and close a house here and there. This is your profession. It's your business, and that's what your career is, to help others with their largest investment.
So apart from the economic natural selection that's happened over the last couple of years, what else would you say that sets you apart? And also, if you'd like to expand on what sets Keller Williams apart, that'd be fantastic.
I'll start with Keller Williams. I've been with Keller Williams for a year now, and it has been the most phenomenal change in my personal life and my business life. We are huge on culture. We believe, that, you know, family comes first, and, you know, it's just a huge culture thing. We all work together. We have unique KW sites that other realtors can't offer to their clients. We have KW.com, which is one of the largest real estate websites. We are the largest real estate company by agent count as of this year. Yay. So we have a lot.
If I had a bell, I would ding it right now.
I
ding,
know.
Ding.
That was
I think you just did.
That was exciting. We accomplished that this year. So, you know, we have our own listing service. So most realtors, when you go out there, you know, obviously you've got FMLS and Georgia MLS. Well, Keller Williams has their own Keller Williams listing service, which goes out to 80,000 plus agents that no other real estate company can offer. Me, myself, like I said, you know, I have experience of being in it. I've been on that side. I've been through the struggles. You know, and selling your house is a huge asset as well. And with the declining market coming, you know, it's hard to have those conversations with sellers who have lost all the equity in their home. And, you know, you just have to go in there and be honest and just be on their side and, you know, try and get them the best they can and, you know, show them how it may look kind of negative right now, but we can turn it into a positive, you know. And with short sales right now, you know, people losing their homes, it's just, I've just always been a caring person. I put people first. And I think that as an agent, they're as my clients, they're always first in my book. So I just.
You love people.
I love people.
You're in the right business then. We're talking with Leanne Russell with Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners. What kind of advice would you give to a client of yours if they want to buy a home that there's several other bidders also buying, you know, bidding on at the same time? What's the best advice you could give them to secure that contract?
Well, we are seeing a lot of that right now. And just to touch a little bit, 2 years ago in the MLS listing service, we had about 58,000 active listings, whereas right now we have 14,760 as of yesterday. Our inventory is very, very low. It is a great opportunity to sell your home. The foreclosures have kind of stepped back a little bit. We're not quite sure how long this window of opportunity is going to be here. So it's a great opportunity to sell your house right now because you don't have the competition. So in result, we're seeing highest and best in multiple offers because, you know, there's no inventory out there. So buyers see a house and they immediately go to it. And then the next thing you know, an agent's got six offers on the house and it's been on the market for 3 days.
A friend of mine recently, by the way, just put their house up for sale. And in the first day had two offers.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, the market definitely is starting to change a little bit.
I had a lake house went on the property last night at 8:30 and I have my clients set up automatically. And I called them because I saw it and they called me and they're like, can we see it tonight? And I called the agent and she said, we didn't think we would show it till like next week. And I'm like, well, I want to be the first one in there because you know it's going to. So as my buyer, like that buyer, you know, if you get into that multiple bidding offer, you need to go in with an offer that you feel comfortable with, that if you lose it, you're okay. That you're going to not, you know, not sleep at night, that you know you tried your best to get it, because you'll have some of those offers that are going to be cash investors and they're going to come in with cash and cash offers are strong. But as long as you go in there and you make the offer to the best of your ability, to what you can do, that you're comfortable with your payment and, you know, that you can sleep with, then, you know, that's what you do. And, you know, you don't always get all of them, but, you know, it may not be meant to be. So just put your heart in it and do the max that you think you can do. And so you can walk away and know that you tried as hard as you could.
Now, I'm not an expert like yourself, Leanne, when it comes to people buying homes, but a lot of times you hear people say, oh, I got to have that house. I got to have it. That's the perfect house. Sometimes they got, you know, I'll pay whatever, but you got to be comfortable with the offer that you make because there are a lot of, you know, some other homes out there you can look at. And this may be wrong advice, tell me if I'm wrong, but don't fall in love with the house because you might not get it. I mean,
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and we haven't heard that in a few years. right, you do. I mean, and you're going to fall in love because they're a buyer, and especially if it's, you know, a buyer who's a first-time home buyer or, you know, who's buying a specialty property like a lake home.
But they should look at several homes before just, that's the first house, this is it, I want it. They should look at the other, should
they
not?
I think that you should. You should. I mean, especially if you're a first-time home buyer, definitely, you need to look at a few homes and, you know, at least do that before you just jump on the first one. But also when you're making an offer and you're...
That's what I was trying to say, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Leanne, for clearing that up.
My questions are never as good as his. That's why he's here.
But if you're going into that multiple offer, you know, as an agent, I also have to do a market analysis to make sure you're not overpaying for a house. I mean, obviously, we do have to deal with appraisals. They're not quite where the market is right now. So... You're not ever going to advise your buyer to overpay what the house is worth. So, you know, there's a lot of elements that come into that multiple bidding thing.
Bad question, good answer, though.
Yeah, fantastic answer. Leanne, I think as we're kind of going through this, not to overstate this or make it too sappy, but I'm going to try not to do that, but it goes back to what you said. One of the things you said was number one to you as your clients, mm-hmm. and kind of building that relationship. And then you also gave us advice on what to ask and how to build trust with that realtor. Because mm-hmm. What we're really coming down to here is a buyer doesn't want to get caught with somebody who's just simply trying to make a sale.
Exactly.
And you have to balance the fact that, yes, your job is to help somebody, but it is to make a sale. But how do you do that? By counseling? How do you do that? By offering your opinions? How do you do that? By bringing your expertise to the table for that client? And that's really what you're trying to do. You're trying to balance all those things. Mm-hmm. And so that's why probably the most important thing is, let's go back to, they got to interview you. They got to get to the point where they
Absolutely.
Can trust you through mm-hmm. through that process.
Mm-hmm. And really, to me, it's about building the relationship. You know, I don't look at any of my clients as a relationship that I'm not going to have in 5 years. You know, it's and some relationships don't mix, and it may not, you know, I may not be the best one for you, but you know, it's an interview. It's almost like kind of going on a date a little bit. You're going on a date with your agent to see that you can mix, because you're going to get close. I mean, your finances are going to be disclosed. You're going to be spending a lot of time in a car with each other. So it's building a relationship, and you've got to make sure that relationship really connects and is going to work for both of you.
And Mike, just think, when you're ready to find that realtor, you can call on someone like Leanne to take your weird questions mm-hmm. and make sense of them.
There's never a weird question.
And now that I realize, thank you, Leanne. And now that I realize it's kind of like a date, I got to make sure I have a female realtor, because it would be kind of awkward if it wasn't. Marie, you actually have a question for Leanne.
Yes. I do. Leanne, great job here this morning.
Thank you.
You raised a couple of questions. One was like the appraised value and where appraisals are today.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share with us the difference between an appraised value and then the market value, like what a house would sell for, and the difference between the appraisal? How do you come up with that?
Well, as a realtor, when I go to a list a home, I do a market analysis. We are not appraisers. And I do a market analysis based on comps in the area that could be active or sold. An appraisal is completely different. They're licensed appraisals, so they have a completely different format of how they come up and formulate their numbers. They're also hired by the lenders. We have no idea who the appraisal is going to be. They have a very hard job. I give props to appraisers right now, because they really do have a hard job. I mean, with the inventory down and all the multiple offers, our prices are coming up, but yet the comps are still kind of lagging back. So we're in that kind of hole. But appraisal is a little different. And, you know, your market value could be a little low right now, but with recent comps and what the appraisals can come in and do, then it may bring up your appraisal a little bit.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
She knows what she's talking about, Stephen.
Almost Thank like you. She's a realtor.
I know. Wow. Leanne Russell with Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners. For those that are looking for a house or selling a house, and
Absolutely.
They would love to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Best way to reach me is my cell phone number. It's always on 24/7 other than when I'm sleeping, you know. But I do answer the phone nights and weekends. And during the day, it's 678-936-2483. And you can go to my website at leannrussell.com. And that's LEIGHANNRUSSELL.
Spelt the same way as my niece.
Leanne. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you.
All right, time for the Junk King right now, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us is Jimmy Van Buren. He's with Atlanta Junk King. Jimmy, you're not what I've met you before. And then the Junk King, I expected you, I guess, to look like Sanford and Son or something like that. Tell us about Atlanta Junk King.
Junk King is a family-owned and operated green junk removal service. We're based in Cumming, Georgia, but we service all throughout the North Atlanta area. We are, like I said, a green service. We try to recycle and donate 60 to 70% of the items we pick up to local charities or through our main recycler, which is Premier Surplus in Cumming. Like I said, we are America's fastest and greenest junk removal service. Fastest because we offer same-day service Monday through Saturday. We work 8 to 6 p.m. or later till sundown usually. And then greenest because we offer that 60 to 70% green.
So if I'm a homeowner or I own a company and I just have a bunch of junk or anything I want to get rid of, you're the guy to call.
Yeah, you got to call the Junk King for that. We will come in. We offer free estimates. We're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. The way we price is by volume, the amount of room it takes up in our truck. Our truck is 18 cubic yards, which is 12 foot long, 8 foot wide, and 5 foot tall. And as long as we can cover it with our tarp, we can pretty much go a little bit more, so sometimes up to 20 yards. Like I said, free estimates by volume. We go all the way from a single item all the way up to a full load and sometimes multiple loads.
I can only imagine some of the stories that you could tell as far as some of the calls you received, having to remove some things. Tell us some things that you've had to remove. maybe some of the biggest, some of the weirdest stuff you've had to, you know, remove from a place.
Biggest, I'd say, you know, we do projection TVs a lot, the old 20-year-old TVs. We've done ones that were like 70 inches, probably over 500 pounds, but we also removed baby grand pianos. Upright pianos, you name it, we've probably seen it. We've actually removed boats before, little ski boats, up to jet skis, whatnot. We've also picked up cars periodically, but our truck's not capable of towing a car, so we've actually had to subcontract those out. But we'll pretty much haul anything. Like I said, when we come in, do a free estimate, they'll say, are you able to haul this? And, you know, me and my brother, we're both pretty big guys, so we usually are able to pick up stuff that are pretty big items.
They say one man's, you know, junk is another man's treasure. What do you do with the stuff once you have it?
Well, like I said, we are a green company, so we do have a warehouse where we'll transport stuff to sort. At our warehouse, we have what they call Gaylords. They're big cardboard boxes that we put all our recyclable items. We recycle computers, wire, anything that plugs into the wall is a low-grade or e-waste item. We do cardboard. We have also places in our warehouse where we keep all our donatable items. We try to donate more than we recycle. We'd rather donate the items to keep it out of the landfill. So we take pretty much, we'll go back to our warehouse, we'll sort it out, the donations, recyclable items, and then if it's not either of those, we have to dispose of it properly.
Other than nuclear waste, is there anything that you can't take?
Yeah, the only thing we don't take is the hazardous materials, but I mean, we also usually aren't supposed to take paint, but we actually are able to donate paint to Habitat for Humanity, so we will take paint.
Now, one of the things that you talked about is you're green because you're 60 to 70%, and I think the other thing you kind of mentioned is you do donate things. So when somebody calls a Junk King, they don't need to think that you're going to come and start tossing stuff around and throwing stuff. I mean, this is you're handling this very professionally. You can show up on site and go, that might be donatable, so let's, you know, like you said, upright pianos. You're not just tossing them in the back of the truck. If they're workable, you're looking to donate things like that. So this is a very solid professional service that you guys provide.
Yeah, like I said before, we are fully licensed, bonded, insured to remove junk. People have asked us before to move stuff, and that's not what we're licensed to do. But as for keeping stuff donatable, we do handle with care. We go in people's houses. We do garage cleanouts, basement cleanouts, attic cleanouts. So we're very professional. Sometimes we take our shoes off. If it's a carpeted house and whatnot, we take care of stuff. And everyone's very trustworthy with us in our house.
So, Mike, the key is remove, not move. So remember that. Make a note. It's remove, not move. You call them when you want to remove. The other thing you said is you don't handle nuclear waste. You don't handle hazardous materials. Sorry, nuclear waste. That was Mike's phrase, not yours. But I think it would be safe to say if somebody's looking for a place to start, they should call the Junk King, because part of what you do, I'm sure, is show up and go,
all this we can do, that right there, you're going to need to call somebody. And, oh, by the way, I've probably got a number you can call. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, if they are looking to possibly remove, you know, items, if they're getting ready to move or, you know, whatnot, it's good for them to call us first. You know, we can tell them, you know, what we can take, what we can't take. Usually, more chance than not, we can take pretty much anything, but we'll tell them what we can't take. But we'll also give them a free estimate. If they have, sometimes they have stuff they want to get rid of and they have stuff they might get rid of. So we can give them two estimates. It doesn't matter. And then we'll usually give them one of the best prices in the Atlanta area. So they'll usually get calls back when they're ready to do it.
Do you get calls? And we're talking with Jimmy Van Buren with Junk King here in Atlanta. Do you get calls a lot from like house flippers and they just bought a property and they say, listen, we want you just to come in there and just get everything out of there?
Yeah, we work commercially. We work for businesses. And exactly, we do a lot of distressed property work. We'll go in and do the trash out for them. We do it by the amount of volume it takes up, but sometimes when we do that, we'll go in, we'll give them a business discount, which is 30% off, and we'll usually fill up more than one truck, if not two. We do a lot of foreclosure cleanouts for sure for real estate agents and house flippers, like you said.
Focus a little bit for us on the green designation. You know, you said you're a green junk removal. I'm assuming there are junk removal services that are not green, so... You kind of touched on it, but is it because of how much you find that you can recycle and how much you can donate? Is that what sets you guys apart and makes you green?
The reason we're green is Junk King is a franchise, and the original franchise has been around since 2005, and it was started in San Carlos, California. And they were the first junk removal service to base themselves up being 60% green. And there's been some other companies that will say have followed in that, and there's also some that don't do any green whatsoever, but I think the green aspect touches more of homeowners than anything because they don't want to see their stuff just taken up. You know, they pay the money and it just goes right to the landfill. But with us, they're paying us, you know, more times than not to handle it and dispose of it or recycle it properly.
You mentioned your brother. I've met your dad, I believe, and he's in the business as well. So the family's involved. Why did you get involved with Junk King? What were you all doing before Junk King? And then why did you decide to get into the junk business?
Well, me and my dad were looking for something to invest more a lot than the stock market. It's not great, you know, but he was wanting to invest into me and my brother more likely. And I graduated college this past 2012 in May. And we started the company before I graduated in December of 2011. So for that first 6 months, it was kind of just, you know, testing the water, kind of getting used to it. But since I've been here full time, we've grown the business a lot, and we're actually getting our second truck here this week, so our business is going good.
You're killing the guy down at the end of the table, Stephen here, the financial planner, because he heard you say we're looking for something to invest in. All of a sudden, his ears just went whoop.
Well, and one of the things I think is interesting is one of the best industries is green junk removal, recycling. I mean, you guys definitely are in a great industry. One of the things that I've
Stephen, I need to interrupt. I think somebody told him he needed to invest in junk bonds, and he didn't quite get the whole phrase.
It wasn't me.
Okay.
I was sitting here thinking you were saying something about junking, and you said it kind of fast. It's almost a verb. What you do is junking. Yeah. So, you know, I junking and junk king, I find that interesting. But one of the things as well, you guys own the franchise here in Atlanta, and it's a family-run business. So when you show up, you don't just show up to do the quote. You're going to come back and fill up the truck.
Yeah, that's the most thing they always ask me. Are you just the businessman, or are you going to actually do the work? And more times than not, if I'm out doing the estimate, I'll actually be back doing the work. So that actually makes them very happy. That the person doing the estimates is not just the estimator. They're actually the person loading the truck. But as for the verb, junking does make sense. It really does. And it's a very good name for a company that people remember more times than not.
And, Mike, you said something at the beginning. You know, Jimmy is not a small person. And sometimes pictures are worth 1,000 words, and we can't get that on radio. The way he's hunched over at this table to reach the microphone, I would be very confident with Jimmy showing up and saying, hey, can you remove this? I think he could.
Yeah, you got to be strong. You got to be in shape. It's a very physical job that you do.
Yeah, I'm definitely the biggest employee of Junk King. I'm setting about 6'11", about 300 pounds.
Are you really 6'11"?
Yeah, 6'11".
Because he was standing next to his dad the other day at a chamber event, and I walked up to his dad, and his dad I thought was like my height. And I walked up to his dad, your dad's probably like 6'2"?
Yeah, he's about 6'2". And my brother, he's about 6'5".
He towered over me, and I'm like, wait. You know, standing next to Jimmy, though, he looked like he was my height.
And he looked like really just a regular person, but he's actually pretty tall for I'm just way bigger than he is. But
so how do you build your business? How do you find new customers in what you do?
Well, there's a lot of advertising going into it. We're on Google. We're on Angie's List is a big one for us. We were 2012 Super Service Award winner on Angie's List and recognized as the best contractor in the magazine. Also, there's lead generators, Hometown Junk, which is one, and Home Advisor is a big one for us as well. We get a lot of leads through them, and there's a lot that goes into getting leads, but once you get them, you just got to land the job and, and return customers and businesses are big for us as well.
And, Business Radio X is the fastest growing business-to-business talk radio in the country right now. Hopefully we've made a connection here with Leanne.
Yeah,
so
definitely going to be swapping cars with her at the end of the day.
There you go. All right, Jimmy, for those companies or homeowners or anyone who's got junk and they need it removed, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me on my cell phone. My number is 706-973-9602. They also could book appointments online and get a $30 off coupon at atlanta.junk.king.com, or also call our 1-800 number, 1-800-995-JUNK-5865.
Do you really like the junking verb, or were you just being nice to Steven?
I've thought of it before he is, so I do like the verb for sure.
I'm not going to ask for any royalties on that or anything.
Just want to be clear. We got it on tape now. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good to see you again. Joining us now on the show, once again, is Marie Fratoni. Marie is a regular contributor here to Gwinnett Business Radio. She's the founder and owner of Reinvent Yourself Seminars, a noted speaker, life coach, and consultant. And as I said, a regular contributor here on our show. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning.
We've talked in the past about the three stages of reinventing yourself. Today, we're going to talk about the third stage, the evaluation stage. But before we get specifically into that, give us a quick summary of the first two stages of reinventing yourself.
Okay, thanks, Mike. When people are reinventing themselves or their careers, there's three stages. And to make it really simple, one is the planning stage. We're really thinking, imagining, wondering, doing a little bit of research, and then creating your plan. And then the second phase is the implementation or the doing stage. And today we're going to look at the third stage, which is really the evaluation or the reviewing stage. How's this working for me?
All right. How important is this third stage, the evaluation stage?
Well, I think it's very important because we need to know if we're on track. If we're creating something new or we're going from one career to another, we've got to look and see, is this really matching up with our vision? Is it really what we want to do? Are we really feeling good about it? What are other people saying? And really looking at the bottom line and saying, if it's a business, is this working? And should I still be true to this?
How do you evaluate how it's going so far? I mean, there's no really hard numbers to kind of compare numbers. So how do you evaluate? What are the questions you should be asking?
Well, there could be some real hard numbers. Let's say if you're a business, if you're somebody that's reinventing a business, whether it's even buying a franchise like yours or, creating something that's just from an idea, you can really look and create some milestones and markers against that and then really, really match your numbers. I mean, if you're somebody that's been working for 6 months and you're not making any money and you're not bringing in any income or revenue, that could be a problem. So it is a good thing to really watch and measure with that. But I think part of what I think most people do when they're working with a coach and they're looking at a level of fulfillment and happiness and joy and personal freedom. Those are kind of the attributes, I think, where they're more heart-centered, and that's what people are really looking for. So I think one of the easiest questions is to just, we joke and say, how's that working for you? But it really can be like, how is it working for you to really look inside and see, how are you feeling about this? Are you feeling comfortable in your own skin? Are you happy with what you're doing? Are you enjoying what you're doing? And then really starting to take stock that way and then beginning to adjust course when needed.
We're speaking with Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. Let's say you're in the evaluation stage right now and you're evaluating. and you don't like what you're seeing, can you make some changes?
Absolutely. You know, as we say, nothing is cast in stone. And, you know, I think when you're, I think the biggest pitfall that people have is they go it themselves. They do it alone. They just get out there and they say, I'm going to go do this. They're going to tough it out. But I think if you have a good community around you, you have a good team of people that you trust, some confidants, a coach, a mentor, guidance, you know, industry specialists or life specialists, you can just ask questions. You can do interviews. You can kind of have them provide some feedback, you know, or some markers that can help you to do this. And then I think all of us, no matter whether we're reinventing ourselves or not, life is about adjusting course. You know, it's like getting, we're most of the time we're off track anyway. And so what we do is we just bring ourselves back on track, and then we go a little further, and then we get off track, and then we bring ourselves back on track. So I think you can make changes anytime to have it fulfill what it is that you really want to fulfill.
A lot of folks are kind of stubborn and think, I can do this by myself. But you would recommend to really have someone like yourself so you can be accountable to somebody else. Because it's very hard to do this by yourself.
I think it is. I mean, people do it by themselves, you know, but I think it can take longer. And I think one gauge is to look at when you want to make that change, if it is with a career or if it is in a relationship or if it is in a lifestyle, how long do you want to wait till you get the results? You know, one of our guests here today talked about, you know, starting with the end result in mind. And I think that's a very good thing as to how to know what is it that you're really looking for. And when you've arrived, what's your life going to be like, and to keep that vision. So, you know, to have a team of people, to work with a coach that's really trained in really, I would say, listening for your greatness, being a champion, you know, raising you up on your shoulders and being with you in the muck and the breakdowns, I think someone that's talented and skilled at doing that is something that can be invaluable.
Talking with Marie Fratoni, and we've been talking about the three stages of reinventing yourself, really emphasizing the last stage, which is the reviewing and evaluating stage. In this third and final stage of reinventing yourself, whether it's your personal life or your professional life, How long does this evaluation stage take?
Well, it could take 5 minutes. You know, it could just be just a quick evaluation and say, am I on track today? What do I need to do to adjust course? I think it's one of those things that's an ongoing evaluation.
I was going to ask, because isn't it something you kind of would do along the entire process?
It is. I think, actually, if you really listen to what we've talked about here in these shows, the planning stage is something that we're always doing. With the implementing stage is something we're always doing, and the evaluation piece is all that we're doing. And I think if we keep those things in harmony and circling around, it's really going to keep us on track. I think when we forget and we just start acting, you know, with abandon, and that's when we can get lost and get caught in being busy and not being productive.
And you could argue that this is probably maybe the most important stage because, you know, you have to plan, and then you do, but evaluating is deciding whether you're actually getting towards your goals.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of ways that, you know, you can evaluate. You know, it's like, who are you in the world? You know, who are you to yourself? Who are you to your family? You know, how do your friends see you? How are you professionally? And those people are people that have a lot of feedback for you as well that can help to guide and engage your success.
And I would think, Marie, that this stage would be maybe the most rewarding stage, because if you've been following your plan, now you're evaluating and you're actually able to review and see the results, that this is a very rewarding stage.
Yeah, I think, and I'm glad you said that, Mike, because one of the things that people forget to do is they forget to celebrate the wins. That sometimes when you're evaluating, you all of a sudden realize, wow, I've accomplished this and I've accomplished this. And it's really time to do an attaboy, attagirl, pat yourself on the back, get some kudos, celebrate, go get a massage, go eat a cupcake, something that will really be a great reward for yourself and to really take that, because there's nothing better with acknowledgement than your own self-acknowledgement and self-affirmation.
See, Stephen, I can ask a good question every once in a while. Marie, thank you so much for your time again. For those that want to reinvent themselves, either their personal lives, their professional lives, tell us all the information so they can get in touch with you.
That's great. Thanks, Mike. You can go to my website, which is www.reinventyourselfseminars.com. And you can send me a message through that website. And if you'd like to call me and have a personal conversation, 770-263-8179.
Marie, thank you once again for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. Also, a big thank you to our other guests here on Gwinnett Business Radio, Jimmy Van Buren with Atlanta Junk King, Leanne Russell with Keller Williams Realty, and Tori Rose with You're So Special. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime 24/7 by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Steve and Julian.
Mike, I want you to know that you're so special, even if you have to reinvent your real estate questions, and I wanted you to know that I'm going junking today.
That's why he's on the program, folks. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.